Good morning. Good morning to everyone. You are listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis. Today I'm going to be speaking with two very special people. In our first segment, I'll be speaking with Maya Jocelyn, and she is founder of Studio Maya, an evolutionary movement studio located in Brooklyn. In our second segment, I'll be speaking with Mahesh Benjamin Bridges, a community leader and meditation expert who will be speaking about the spiritual unity movement. My first guest, Maya Jocelyn, is a teacher and, as I said, founder of Studio Maya. She began dancing at age 5. And continued on to complete a BFA in modern dance at SUNY Purchase. She went to Connecticut Center for Massage Therapy and became a licensed massage therapist. For 10 years, Maya specialized in chronic pain injury recovery, and in 2006, transitioned her practice to movement specialist. Over the past 10 years, Maya has developed a core strengthening and injury prevention technique called the Maya Method. It is strongly influenced by Martha Graham technique, release techniques, Pilates, functional training, flamenco, and the work of Carolyn Mace. Maya received her certification from the National Academy of Sports Medicine, Pilates International, and Annette Lang, post-rehabilitative training and pre-postnatal training. She opened Studio Maya in 2008 to offer people a safe place to heal and develop their body in a holistic manner with techniques based on science and research. I want to say hello and welcome Maya to the program Heart of Mind Radio.
Hi, Catherine.
I'm really happy to have you here with me today. I've been working with you in your studio, and I have really seen how much people, first of all, just enjoy and have fun, but how much they actually benefit and heal. And I would love for you to start by telling us a little bit about your inspiration to move into this progression from dance to movement to really having a scientific basis for your method.
Well, as you talked about, I grew up dancing and was dancing for 4 to 5 hours a day, and I went to college, and in the first week in this conservatory dance program, I rolled over my ankle and injured my ankle, which is a pretty common injury for dancers. And I had never been injured before. I was 18, and my teacher told me to take a couple of the days off and to go back to class when I felt better, and that's what I did. What I didn't realize is that my body had altered the way that it was moving in order to avoid the pain in the ankle. And then what happened is for the next 3 years, I just experienced one injury after another. So I hurt the other ankle. I hurt both knees. I tore both my hip flexors. And then I had just chronic low back pain, which I basically wrestled with for about the next 10 years. So after about 3 years of this, I left and I went to massage school, and I decided that I had to figure out what was happening and how to try to reverse all of this. And so I did. I went to a massage school and I studied anatomy and kinesiology. And I started to really look at the body as a machine, as a system of levers, and look at where the pressure comes down through the joints. And sort of one by one, I worked through all of my injuries. The low back pain did remain for probably another 7 years. And what I realized when I got into my 30s is that what I was doing to help it was actually aggravating it. So I was doing, actually at that point, I was doing a fair amount of yoga, which yoga is an amazing, amazing technique and practice. However, for certain types of low back pain, it can aggravate it. And so during this time, through my 20s, I continued to study the body. I did some martial arts. I was studying Reiki and energy work. I had a massage practice. I was working with people, and I was really feeling in their bodies which muscles were very tight and which were not able to release. And then I was seeing how that was impacting their posture and how that was impacting their movement. And so I just kept studying. I was also studying a lot the work of Carolyn Mace and looking at the body as looking at the chakras and how is energy moving through the body, where is it stuck, where is it overactive, and looking at the whole body to see if there was a flow or a balance throughout the whole body. And then in my mid-30s, I was actually working out actually at a gym, and I was recruited by a training manager there who told me that he thought I would be very good at being a trainer and working with people. And I did not believe him, actually. So I kind of ignored him for a number of weeks, and he kept coming up to me and saying, I really think you should do this. And it was at a point in my life where I was about to move from the West Coast to the East Coast, and so I sort of was in limbo. And so I decided I would try it. And what happened is that as soon as I started, I realized that everything that I had been studying for the previous 15 years about the body, about the movement, about anatomy, about healing, about energy, all came together. And I was able to work with each person based on what their particular need was. So some people I found it was very structural, that their bones, particularly in the spine, weren't properly aligned. Some people it was just the impact of stress in certain situations and how their body was reacting to that stress. Some people it was just poor movement patterns, that their body was moving in a way that it was not designed to move and that this was causing problems. So then I moved to New York and I got my studio here in Brooklyn, and I've just started working with people. And what I found over time was that the work that I was doing, a lot of people wanted, strengthening and sculpting. The work that I was doing with people around that and around the core work I started to see the parallels to the work that I was doing with people with injuries. So the people with back pain, I started to do quite similar. So we were working a lot on their core strength and a lot of changing the muscle patterns and how their body was moving day to day. And so what happened is this technique has evolved. And this technique, which we now call the Maya method, is centered around strengthening the core and also strengthening the glutes, which are the butt muscles, to be the foundation of the spine. And that when you strengthen the center of the body, and then you train the extremities, the chest, the upper back, and the legs, to relax more and to lengthen more, that what happens is that people are both able to sculpt their body in the way that they would like, but they're also able to protect their back from injuries and from low back pain and from other injuries. So it's kind of come together as this core strengthening and injury prevention technique.
Well, that's really very powerful, because I don't know of an athlete or anyone really who is engaging in strenuous physical activity who doesn't have these situations where they have injuries. And very often the injuries can become catastrophic to their intent, their desire to move forward. I have to say that even in my own life, I've most often fallen off the wagon, such as it is, because of some injury. And by the time the thing heals on its own, a year could go by or even longer. And what you're suggesting is that sometimes people don't ever really heal if they don't understand how the injury occurred or what's really going on in their bodies. So this is something I'm assuming could be contributing to a lot of pain that people suffer. Is there like a strong relationship to pain and the Maya method?
Well, what I would say about injuries and most pain, as far as muscular pain throughout the body, it's very rarely a surprise. If you were to go back and look at the patterns, or there are often signs that there's something not right. And if we can backtrack, if somebody comes to me with an injury and we can backtrack and we can look at the signs for where, you know, where that problem was developing, then that means that we can look at where we are now and look for potential problems. And so what I'm doing with people is, in the Maya Method classes, is we're looking at where are the potential problems. So one example, for instance, is how people pick something up when they lean forward to pick up something from the floor. If you're curving the spine, then maybe it's fine if you're lifting up a pen or a book, but if you're lifting up a child, or if you're lifting up something heavy and putting it in the car, then this is often where people run into trouble. And so what we're doing in the Maya Method classes is we're trying to return to what I believe is our natural movement patterns. And people ask, well, what does that look like? And what it looks like really is like the way a toddler moves. If you look at how a 2 or a 3-year-old or even a 4-year-old, how they sit or how they bend over to pick something up or how they move, they're able, one, they have what we call neutral alignment in a lot of these positions, in the sitting or the leaning forward to pick something up. But also they have this ability to fully engage a certain muscle group and also have other muscle groups very relaxed. This is what people talk about when I see a small child sitting. They're upright, but there's a kind of relaxedness about it. And that's a very, very important part of how the body works and how the body moves, is that we can have one part of the body fully engaging and another part of the body very relaxed. And so what we're working on in the classes and in this technique is, one, trying to find our way back to this neutral alignment or this, you know, this correct posture and these correct movement patterns. The other thing we're working on is the ability to fully engage one part of the body and have the other parts of the body that are not necessary, to have them relaxed. And this is... comes up, for instance, a lot in the core work when people are doing the core contraction inward, or it's like a, it's almost like a slow motion crunch. What happens is their neck muscles are fully engaged, and they're not necessarily helping that much. And in fact, they're often causing people a lot of neck pain. So right in the beginning, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get people to be able to fully engage the abdominal muscles and simultaneously have the neck fully relaxed. And you could try this even just sitting where you are, or if you're standing. If you were to just contract and try to pull your belly towards your spine and see if the neck muscles are firing, see if they're relaxed. Because what we want is to be able to fully engage the core and not add any stress to the neck, which is already a part of the body that experiences a lot of stress for most people. So we're working on the alignment, we're looking on our proper movement patterns, and we're working on being able to only use what needs to be used. Otherwise, we're adding stress to the body and we're potentially causing damage to the joints. Does that make sense?
Wow. It makes a lot of sense. It makes perfect sense, actually. And so you're bringing this incredible work, the Maya Method, to your studio and making it available to people, because I know you do a whole series of classes, plus you often do private sessions. What are the different classes that you offer that are part of the Maya Method?
So the classes, we focus really on a particular part of the body. So, you know, 1 to 2 muscle groups, really. So the signature class is called Ageless Body, and that is focused on strengthening the core and strengthening the glutes. And then opening up the upper back and chest and opening up the hamstrings, which are the muscles at the back of the thigh. Those two muscle groups, when they are tight, they cause a lot of problems for the back, and they also really affect posture. So we are strengthening the core, strengthening the glutes, and lengthening what's called the pec muscles at the front of the shoulders and the hamstrings. We have other classes, for instance, the low back class, which is a class designed just for people with low back pain. And that is centered for the first half of the class around the core work. And then the second half of the class is lengthening the muscles that are contributing to the problem. And then we have a class called Brooklyn Booty that's for just developing the glutes or just developing the butt muscles. We're in an era where it's quite trendy, the whole glute work and all that sort of thing, which is great, which is fine. It's, though, very important for the body to have very strong glutes. And so in that class, for 1 hour, you're just trying to develop those muscles. And what's tricky is that the glute muscles don't like to work. They're a very potentially powerful muscle group. However, they're quite lazy. And so that class is focused a lot on form and how to get a muscle that doesn't want to work, how to get it to work, because that is no easy task. And then we have arms and shoulders, which is a strengthening and sculpting class for the arms. And then we also have a class called Strategic Stretch. And that is a stretch class really designed for people who hate to stretch. And finding other ways to stretch using cables, using like super balls or small balls, kind of the size of tennis balls, as a way to kind of massage out these muscle groups that don't like to stretch. And so all of those combined make the Maya Method.
Excellent. And now you created a studio, Studio Maya. What was your inspiration for the studio? And maybe talk a little bit about the various classes that are available there.
So when I first did come to New York, I did work at a gym, and I was repeatedly scolded for educating people about what was going on with their body. And I was told that I should not want people to be independent. I should want them to be dependent upon me. And I tried to explain to them that I didn't feel that was cultivating health, and that my goal was for people to be independent. I also was running into conflict because there, in this particular gym, there was a lot of promoting of these certain supplements. I didn't feel that there was a lot around weight loss and caffeinated supplements and this sort of thing. So I decided to leave and have a place where I could educate people, and that would be a good thing. And that I could also promote natural medicine and encourage people to find a natural solution to the cause of whatever they were dealing with. And so I left and started in 2008. And I was working primarily, that was just when the recession was happening, and a lot of people were working, had lost their health insurance. I was working a lot with people with injuries. And about a year into it, somebody said or suggested that I start teaching classes. So I started with three classes a week and trying to bring together all these various exercises that I had been doing with people one-on-one and bring them into these classes. So what happened is we grew, and then we got this space that we're in now, which is on Bergen Street, which is a loft space, and we started opening up. So now there was space for dance classes. So we started adding in dance classes, and we've just kept developing that. So now we have Zumba, we have Samba, we've got hip hop, we've got ballet, and sometimes we have jazz classes. So what I found is that the core work and the Maya method, I believe, is really the nuts and bolts of the body, which is how to strengthen the body, parts of the body that are weak, and how to lengthen the parts of the body that are tight and that are shortened. But that once your body is functioning and once you're out of pain, it's very important to just have joy and just move freely and just enjoy the music. So our dance classes are very just encouraging. We want people to have fun. There's not as much focus on form. It's much more about enjoying the music, much more about just having a chance to just let loose and feel free. So, mm-hmm. And then we've also just started adding in the yoga, and we have you teaching the Qigong, and we've now also opened up the space to, we have a number of different groups that do meditation here. And so more and more the space is being used for meditation as well. Mm-hmm. So it continues just to grow and expand and evolve.
Mm-hmm. And I see that. It's a beautiful space. And the people who come there come with a real history and understanding of what they're offering. So, you know, there are the classes in the studio, and you even have someone who does classes outside. And so people can really take up their whole life, really, and begin to focus the whole mind-body experience by understanding healing their body and then moving into the expression of their body and learning to maintain, learning to keep themselves healthy, which is really, really important. So I've been calling it the evolutionary studio, and I really do want to invite people to join this evolution. And you are located in Brooklyn, 603 Bergen Street in Brooklyn. It's in the first floor. And people can always find out more about your classes and what's being offered at StudioMaya.com. But what is so exciting for me right now is that you are working on a new project which really will revolutionize the evolution by allowing people to participate in all these wonderful classes at home or anywhere, wherever they might be in the world, actually. So can you tell us something about your new project and your Kickstarter program?
So we have our Kickstarter running right now. It's actually running just for one more week. It's to make a Studio Maya app, and what it's come about because people have been requesting videos that they could do at home, or that they could do when they're traveling, or even that they could do if they were wanted to do some things at the office. And so for the last 2 years, I've been doing some experiments and making sort of videos and podcasts for people, having them do them at home and to see what works and what doesn't work. And so now we've figured out what I've spent a lot of time watching videos and looking at exercise and dance and yoga apps to see what works. And what I have found to be the biggest challenge in these videos or podcasts is that it's very hard to get, it's very hard to not be the viewer and be passive and to sit back and watch the video. It's very rarely that I see a video or a podcast that actually somehow is able to engage me and get me moving and get me, doing the exercises or the class or whatever that I'm supposed to be doing. So what we've been working on is how to do that. And what I found is that leading with the auditory cues and taking people into their body by with the cues and the form is that is what seems to have been the most effective. And so using minimal video, just enough to show you what the exercise is supposed to be, but really leading with the cues and being very specific about what people are supposed to be doing and what they're not supposed to be doing. What I found a lot in videos is there's a lot of counting. They're counting, but they're not exactly telling you how to do the movement. And if you're not doing the movement properly, you're not going to change the way that you're hoping to change, and you're probably not going to stick with the process. So with this research, we're come up with this idea for this app where you can get very specific and very strategic about what part of your body you want to work on, or what injury you want to work on, or what type of dance you want to work on, or why, you know, what you're hoping to get out of a certain type of yoga. And then we're going to have these different videos and different podcasts and different series. And so in each area, it would be very organized, that you would have a starting point and that it progresses, and that it done so, each of these videos is done so in a way where you are being educated about how to do it, why to do it, and how to make it effective. And so this video, where this Kickstarter that we're doing, is to raise the funds for the initial programming, which is what costs a lot with apps. App development is that initial getting the app up. And then we'll build it in a way that where we can continually add on videos and add on different techniques and even go into the meditation, go into the Qigong, go into yoga, into all the different types of dance, as well as the Maya method, as well as core training, and just develop each series so that people can progress even if they never get a chance to come to the studio.
And I think that this is vitally important, because I have been speaking to people about your studio for the last several months, I guess almost a year now, and people are excited about it, but not everyone can make their way to Bergen Street in Brooklyn in order to take these classes. And this is an opportunity, I believe, to really deliver into people's living rooms, into their lives, into their office spaces, an opportunity to begin to transform their health. And to me, that's very, very powerful, because I have run into many folks who belong to gyms, who run in the park, who do different things and are really not understanding how to correct some of these injuries, or really to even understand how to look at their bodies and analyze what's going on with them. So I think that this is a really, really powerful opportunity, and I am reaching out to all of our listeners to take a look at this. You can get a link to the project from the website studiomaya.com. You can join the evolution. You can click on the Kickstarter program. It's down at the bottom of the page. And for those of you who can pledge towards this campaign, there are some really cool gifts that you receive as incentives. And for those of you who could make that pledge of $50 or more, you'll receive an actual 6-month membership to this app. So that means that you can really progress. You can work through your physical complexities. You can cultivate, you can develop, and you can begin to be empowered to have that tool to do what it is that you always have plans to do. It's so easy at the top of the year, the new year, to make all of these plans and say, I'm going to get my life together, I'm going to do all these things. But it's another thing to actually get the tools and the information in place. And this is an opportunity. First of all, you could come to the classes at Studio Maya. That would be great. It's right there on Bergen Street, and it's not far from the Atlantic Barclay Center, for those of you who want a landmark, but easy to get to. And but also, I want to encourage those of you who can to support the this evolution, the Kickstarter campaign. I'm also putting up the links on our archive page at Heart of Mind Radio. You would just go to prn.fm. and click on to the Heart of Mind Radio archive page. The information is there for studiomaya.com. You'll have a link and also a direct link to see the video of the Kickstarter campaign. So I invite you to at least take a look. And it's really beautiful. And you really get to see all that is possible, not just for the studio, but for you personally. And Maya, one of the things that I really appreciate about your work is how much love and care you bring to everyone that you engage with. You approach this work and life, it seems, with a sense of real purpose and mission. Do you, can you give us, maybe just reiterate for you what this mission is, what you hope for the studio and for the app that you're building?
The word I would use, Catherine, to describe my mission is to honor people and to have a space where people are honoring each other and encouraged to honor themselves. And so it's a media-free zone. It's a cell phone-free zone. It's a time to unplug and to go within and to listen. And part of what I wanted was a place where people could be an individual in the midst of a group. And so the assumption is that everybody who comes, that they have an important contribution to the group, and they're also encouraged to be an individual and to do what they need to do for themselves at any moment. And so this idea of honoring and honoring our bodies and honoring each other and honoring the space is very simple, but there's a lot of care that goes into the space and maintaining the space and keeping it clean, keeping it orderly. And that care, I believe, cultivates a certain kind of energy. And that when people come into the space, what everybody says is such a peaceful feeling. And I believe that that comes from that intention of caring for the space, caring for each other, caring for our bodies, and having this time to really listen and to listen what the body has to say and not judge it and not judge each other, but to try to actually hear and interpret the feedback that we're getting from our bodies, that we're getting from each other. And so that's been my motivating, that's what's been motivating me from the studio to the technique, to the culture at the studio, to this app, is to have a way that we really honor our bodies and the wisdom that they're giving us, the feedback that it's giving us, and to then be able to be more healthy, be more healed, and take that out into the world in hopefully a positive way.
So. That's really fabulous. I am really so happy to have had a chance to speak with you today, and hopefully we'll be able to talk again and go into some more details with folks. But in the meantime, I want to
recommend that you take a look. You can go to studiomaya.com for that link to the Kickstarter campaign. The studio itself is 603 Bergen Street, Suite 103, Brooklyn, New York. And the number, Maya, would you want to give out any number to the studio?
It's 917-837-3705. And the website, studiomaya.com.
Okay, that's excellent. Well, thank you so much. And we will talk again. And take good care.
Thank you, Catherine. Thanks so much. Take care.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. So you're listening to the Progressive Radio Network. And we're going to be taking a break in a couple of minutes. And so when that happens, we'll be coming up with our next guest. So please do stay tuned for that. And apparently I'm having a little connectivity problems with some of the connections. But we, just in the meantime, I'm going to give you a little bit more on what's coming up for us. So let's see what we can do. Coming up, this Saturday, we are going to be having a class, a Qigong dance class, a trance dance class, and I think that would be really very, very special. I hope you can participate in that. It's at from 3 to 4:30 p.m. We'll be doing that. And then after a few, let's see, also coming up and starting in January, we'll be teaching Soaring Crane Qigong. And during that class, actually it's a five-part class, and we have a series, a free series on the 5th of January, so we want you to take a look at that. You can find out more at opencenter.org, but you can also check it out at, you'll find a link on our website, prn.fm, and you can try that as well. So I want to try to get a connection here so that we can get our next guest. Yes. Hello, I'm losing my connection. Okay, thank you. All right, so we're going to be taking our second guest right now, and I want to welcome our second guest, and it is Mahesh Benyamin Bridges. And he is a really beautiful community organizer. He has done a lot of work with meditation, going into the schools to uplift and inspire our urban youth. He is also the founder of the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo. And also what we're going to be speaking about today, the Spiritual Unity Movement. And I want to say hello and welcome, Mahesh, to our program, Heart of Mind Radio.
Yes, my sister. Thank you for having me on the show as well. I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, I'm very happy to have you here. And we had a little technical snafu, but I'm going to get right into it and ask you about the Spiritual Unity Movement. It's something that we can all participate in, a Sunday night prayer and meditation, and it's going to be coming up this Sunday, January 1st. It's at 8 p.m., and it continues every week, I believe. And the idea is to end the violence and poverty and bring about peace. Can you tell us a little something about how your session goes? What will people experience when they call in on Sunday night?
Yes, well, first of all, what we normally do when we have our session, we start off with a prayer. And we've had different folks, because it is spiritual unity. So what we're talking about is a universality of not just one particular religion, but different religions. So we have had people come in that are Christians, and we've had bishops and reverends come and, you know, do prayers with us. We've had imams come, and we've also had people from other religions as well. And what they do is share their prayer, and that's what we start off with. And then afterwards, what we end up doing, and that starts things off on a high note, which is a wonderful thing. And after that, what we end up doing is focusing on the people who are on the call. And when I say focus on, I'm talking about trying to find ways in which we can uplift and have them, you know, really feel the powerful energy of the prayer and of the meditation, you know. And some of the things that we deal with it from more of a, I guess you would say, a holistic standpoint, where we're dealing with the spirituality of it, the mental vibration of it, and also the physical vibration, and last but not least, the financial piece. So that's very important as well. You know, a lot of people say, well, what's financial got to do with it? But, you know, it's really an important piece, because if your wallet is sick, it's going to affect you in many ways. It can affect your relationship if you're married or have a girlfriend, boyfriend situation. It can affect your situation as far as being able to pay your bills and everything. And that takes a lot of stress off of a person when their financial situation is balanced out. So that's an important piece that we deal with. The financial and physical, if you have any physical ailments or anything, we focus on bringing that healing energy for us to heal ourselves as well, and mental as well. Like I said, the stress, anger, tension, different things that we're dealing with, we try to neutralize that situation as well. And spiritually, what we're calling on is the spiritual power of the Creator, the healing power of God, to come forth so that we can actually bring about the change and transformation within ourselves and also within our community, the local community as well as the world community. And that's basically, you know, what we deal with. You know, the first aspect is, again, dealing with those on the call. And the second aspect is dealing with focusing on bringing about positive change in the communities as well.
And I really love this, that you take the time in the initial part of the call is to really connect and to work with the people who are actually on the call. And so tell us a little bit of the different aspects of the call, how you start with your prayer, and what is the purpose of that, and how is that connecting to the people who are actually on the call?
Well, you know, it's very important, because the two most powerful tools that we have, a lot of times we don't connect the dots, sometimes we don't see the full impact of it, which is the power of prayer and the power of meditation. These are very powerful tools that can bring about tremendous amount of healing and change that we would like to see in ourselves and in others, you know. And when we start to utilize that prayer to bring about the healing aspect of transformation, whether it's from a physical standpoint, a mental or spiritual aspect, it can bring about some really powerful change for a person, and that's what we try to do. And the other thing is, which a lot of people overlook, because, I don't know, there's the old thing of money is the root of all evil, so you kind of leave that on the sideline and don't discuss it or don't deal with it. But in reality, money is a very important aspect of how people's lives are either in a down mode of depression and stress and anger and everything, or whether they're in a happier mode. A lot of it has to do with money. So these are things that we focus on. We start to talk about bringing that realm of prosperity and wealth into a person's life, and for them to start to see it, and, you know, start to see about the fact that they have the ability to even try to manifest these things, you know. And that's another, you know, aspect of it, is that who are you? What can you do? You know, we try to also awaken people to the inner ability, because there's an old saying, you know, you are made in the likeness and image of God. So if you are all of that, why are we in many of the situations that we're in? Mainly because we don't acknowledge that aspect of ourselves, you know. And once you start to realize and awaken your mind and your life to understanding that you are made in the likeness and image of God, it brings about a whole total transformation of what you can and cannot do. Because many of us see ourselves in a very limited standpoint, and that's one of the reasons why we live in a limited situation. And we want to get people out of that lane of limitation and bring them into the lane of wealth, abundance, happiness, joy, and being able to come together in spiritual unity and bring about that total change that we want to see in our community.
And the meditation which follows the prayer, I'm sure deals with all the things that you've been speaking of, but you also focus on bringing healing, transformation, and positive change in our individual communities and in the world community. So can you speak about that and maybe tell us a little bit about how this change is being manifested, what signs you have seen?
Yeah, it's been, you know, quite interesting. You know, at one point we were focusing in the city of, because we go around to the different major cities throughout the country. And basically right now we have about several people from, well, I shouldn't say several people, but I'm talking about several cities. We have people from several different cities that are calling in, you know, and we try to focus on those different cities so that we could bring about relief, you know, to those cities, you know. So, of course, we started off with good old Mount Vernon here in New York, and we were, you know, meditating and praying on that for about a month, and we actually even got an email from the mayor of Mount Vernon that stated that four different gang members, which was causing a lot of ruckus and, you know, violence in the city of Mount Vernon, were arrested by the FBI. And since that time, you know, things had quieted down at that time. Unfortunately, recently we just had an incident where things were actually, you know, a little, matter of fact, there were some shootings that occurred just recently. So we're going to dedicate some time to Mount Vernon for this Sunday, actually, because, you know, in the shootings there were, you know, a few people that had died as well. But what we did notice was not only at that time period when we were attention to Mount Vernon, we actually got that email from the mayor of Mount Vernon saying that things had really calmed down tremendously. And also, there was a gentleman from Baltimore that was a part of our group, and he would call in, you know, and share with us, you know, what was happening with, you know, him and how, you know, he really felt motivated to get involved. So one day we were doing a meditation and we dedicated it to the city of Baltimore. And unfortunately, you know, he couldn't actually get into the meditation part of it, but he was on the call with us. And he said, you know what, I'm going to see if this meditation thing really works, you know, because he said, you know, we're meditating, but, you know, I wonder if it's going to have an impact on our community or this is just a nice little thing to do. So what ended up happening was that he actually, he was a cab driver. So he drove through those areas in Baltimore, which he says are the areas where they always have their drug dealers hanging out on the street corner. They also always have, you know, gang members hanging out on those street corners. And he said, you know, since he's been in Baltimore, they are always there on those corners, you know, hanging out, either selling drugs or fighting. And he said sometimes there's even shootings going on in those areas. And he said he just wanted to drive through those troubled areas in those neighborhoods and see if the meditation and prayer was having any effect. So he said, as he was driving through those areas, he said he couldn't believe what he saw. He said he had to pull his car over to the side and just say, am I seeing this for real or what? And what ended up happening was, he said, as he was driving through those areas, which normally have people on those street corners, he said there was nobody at all on any of those street corners. and he couldn't believe it. He said since he's been in Baltimore, that shocked the heck out of him because he said he never experienced driving through those areas and seeing nobody there. So that was something that had an effect. And what I'm starting to see and understand is that the power of meditation and prayer is awesome. We just need to continue doing it on a continual basis, and we can make a huge impact in our communities. And it's just the fact that our people just don't really know the power of it, because if they did, we would have changed it a long time ago. But being that we do know about it now, we're just trying to see if we can get more people involved with it. But even in the Bible, it says if two or three people come in my name, I can be there in the midst to bless, you know. So all I can say is that if we come together in spiritual unity and call upon the grace and mercy of God, there's no limit to what we cannot do. We can definitely make some huge and definite changes in our community.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you on the power of this prayer, meditation, and the intention of it. And I also see it, how it connects on the level of spirit and energy. And a lot of people hear about some of these systems, you know, power of manifestation and, you know, how to create your life based on your state of mind. And these are actually very powerful realities that when we spend our time and our energy and our emotions in a toxic way, it reproduces that toxicity in our lives and in our communities. But when we come together with that powerful intention, with that uplifted spirit and the, you know, the desire for bringing the change and the highest good, then that becomes a very powerful force within the world, and we can uplift each other, and we can, through our united energies, expand that into the world and help people, as you said, in various cities and inner cities where there is a real crisis, and to help bring the energy. And as the energy flows, more insistence will come, and then more inspiration will move into those communities. And this is a very powerful way of bringing about change. And there have actually been studies that show how powerful it can be, where, you know, they have done studies of groups of people doing prayer and meditation and actual crime rates going down. So it is something that if people wanted to really look into the research, they would find that it works. But for those of us who really do understand the power of spirit and the power of the intention, we'll recognize that this is something that is very doable, very positive, and I really encourage as many of us as possible to begin tuning into these Sunday night prayers and meditation. Now, the next one is this coming Sunday, January 1st at 8 p.m. Do you want to give out the information so that people can connect into the call?
Yeah, sure would. I wonder, do I have a quick minute to just share one last analogy in regards to the individuals? One thing that happened that was pretty phenomenal, I just wanted to bring up if possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go ahead, please.
One thing. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, one thing that happened, you know, as the group of people that come on the call, there was a young lady that was actually getting ready to lose her apartment because her landlord had raised her rent. And what ended up happening was she told us about it, and she was saying, listen, at the end of the month, which is only a week away from now, I'm going to have to leave my apartment. And she said, could you guys pray and meditate on this for me so I don't lose my apartment? So I said, yeah, okay, we'll see what we could do. You need some money, so we're going to see if we could vibe on that for you and see if we could get it going. So what we ended up doing, we visualized seeing her getting this money. We prayed to the Lord and asked for his mercy and grace for her. And what ended up happening was that was on a Thursday that we did that. And then that's that Monday what ended up happening was her boss called her and told her, I'm giving you $1,000 raise, you know, because you've been working here for quite a few years. I'm going to hook you up with $1,000 raise. And he did. And then not only that, but her boss also bought her a car and paid the, and she had to pay the notes for the car. But she got a new car there and hooked her up with that as well. So those were two things that came out of that. We didn't even put the car in. We were just hoping that she would get the money for her apartment so that she could be able to make payments and everything. And, you know, with the increase in the rent, she would be able to cover all of that. But what ended up happening was she also got a car included as well. And with the $1,000 raise, it gave her enough money to pay her rent and pay the note on her car as well, the payment. So it worked out for her tremendously. But these are things that we do for people that come on a call with us, because charity begins at home. We got to look out for the folks that are a part of our circle, a part of the group that's dealing with us. So not only can we help people in the outside community, but also people that are involved with our group. Now, we are going to be having this on Sunday. This Sunday at 8 o'clock, we're going to start off with really having a very powerful focus on this new year for the individuals that are on the call, as well as for the community. Because we, this year, we need to start off on a positive note and really start to see this year on a very high note. You know, because
okay, so let's give the information though before we run out of time.
Oh, okay. So now, the phone number that you can call in to actually get on the call is 605-475-4700. That number again is 605-475-4700. And the PIN number that goes along with that is 484-092-POUND. 484-092-POUND. So if you call the number and the PIN number, you'll be able to get on the call with us and join us on Sunday. And that time, again, is 8 p.m. on Sunday.
Okay, and the number you gave me is 605-475. Is that the number? Or is it a,
correct?
So I had a different number, so I just wanted to double check. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's good. People will be able to make that connection, and we invite you certainly to participate in this Sunday prayer. Thank you for joining us. We've been part of Mind Radio.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.